In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ is among us. Today's gospel passage described or depicts for us what a world is like without Jesus the Christ. It depicts for us a world without the gifts or without the gift of the mysteries of initiation, baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist. The Gadarenes, that's the location of today's gospel passage, the Gadarenes. It was pagan country. A pagan country, therefore, means it was under the dominion of Satan. The possessed man is living in the tombs. He's living among the dead, with the dead. The possessed man is enslaved to the devil. His depiction is one of a savage. It's an inhuman existence. Jesus the Christ walks into that world of godlessness, that world marked by death, violence, and darkness. And he restores to a quote-unquote dead man to life. The account in today's gospel passage is a microscopic view of what Jesus the Christ accomplished by coming down into this world of the Gadarenes and by his death, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, restores life to all of humanity who has been living in and among the tombs with the dead. The means to move from this land dominated by the devils, this land marked by violence, division, disintegration, and death. The means to move out of that is through the mysteries of baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist, whereby the human person receives wholeness, receives communion, receives integration, and receives life eternal. On the sixth Sunday after the cross, Sunday, October 24th, a tremendous event occurred. Eleanor was taken from the land of the tombs and brought into the land of the living, the church. The church is the land of the living. The mysteries of initiation is a passage in, with, and through Jesus the Christ, from death into life. It's a passage from a world that is destined and moving toward corruption and death. And it's a passage out of that into the kingdom of God, God's kingdom, which is the kingdom of life and light. Water. And the prayers blessing the water reveal the meaning of this passage. Water is the most ancient and most universal religious symbol. First, there can be no life without water. It's the principle of life. Second, water is a symbol of destruction and death. Third, water is the principle of purification and cleanliness. A purification and a cleanliness that brings about a regeneration, a renewal. Just take, for example, in your own life, when you've had a long day and you're sweaty and you're tired and you're grimy and you're dirty. You go and you take that shower and you literally feel refreshed and rejuvenated. Water is found in the first chapter of Genesis, and it stands for creation. Water also appears as a judgment and death in the account of the flood and in the account of Pharaoh and his charioteers who are submerged under the waves of the waters of the Red Sea. Water is the means of purification and forgiveness as witnessed by St. John the Baptist in the River Jordan. All these accounts show us, what do we have going on? Creation, fall, redemption, life, death, resurrection, resurrection to eternal life. That's the reality. That's the symbol in the element of water, accompanied by the prayers that blessed this very water. Water in the rite of initiation has three dimensions going on. There's a cosmic dimension. There's an ecclesiological dimension. And there's an eschatological dimension. In the symbol of this blessed water, all three, the cosmos, the church, and the final end, are brought together. They're restored. What sin and death broke, what sin and death dislocated, what sin and death mutilated, the very water that's been blessed is restoring. The event of baptism is cosmological. Why? Because now there's the mystery of the new creation to this water. The mystery of the new creation in Christ. The event of baptism, it's ecclesiological. Because in this very font, you and I are made members of the church. The event of baptism in these very waters refers to our end, our goal, our objective, which is what? To be participants in the mystery of the kingdom of God. As we saw Eleanor immersed into the blessed waters, she was literally being immersed into this new creation. She was being immersed into the life of the church. She was being immersed into the kingdom of God. Such is the way the rite of the blessing of the water begins. The priest wears white garments, the same color that we wear for the divine liturgy. It's not by accident. And how does the rite begin? That second part, we came up here and you heard those familiar words. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. That simple doxology appears in three different liturgical services. The mystery of baptism, the mystery of crowning or matrimony, and in the divine liturgy, that is the Eucharist. All the other liturgical services of the church begin with the words, "Blessed is our God." Whether it's Orthos, Vespers, the sacrament of penance, the sacrament of anointing, all the other liturgical services begin with "Blessed is our God." But these three particular ones always begin with "Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why? This is not a minor detail. To begin with, that very doxology points to the end and the objective of everything the liturgy is about and what the real history of the world is about. Everything is a movement into God's kingdom. Everything is a movement toward participation in the divine life of God. Everything is about a movement toward communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's why the mystery of baptism begins. Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's why the divine liturgy begins with the words, Blessed is the kingdom of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Participation in the kingdom, while we are on earth, is experienced most perfectly in the divine liturgy. For the rite of the blessing of the water, for it to begin with those words, is only pointing us then to the ultimate reality. It's pointing all of us, pointing Eleanor, directing her toward Eucharistic communion. Hence the reason why the church has kept carefully together the rite of baptism, chrismation, and Eucharist. What baptism begins, chrismation anoints, and the Eucharist fulfills. They should not be separated. It's a rupture then in the very movement of what's happening here. Eleanor will soon therefore complete her initiation into the kingdom for their first reception of the Eucharist. Nevertheless, let us all never forget that what happened here today is only the beginning. It's one's initiation. It's not the completion. What begins here is fulfilled finally here in the Eucharist, preparing us for the final communion when we will face God, our Creator, our Father. So let's keep in mind, let's keep in heart the prayer that was in one of the petitions the deacon recited. That until the awesome day of Christ our God, final judgment, the baptized may preserve pure and undefiled their baptismal garment and preserve the pledge of the Holy Spirit. May the good work today wrought in us by Almighty God our Father in the life of Eleanor and each one of us truly be brought to its final end and completion. Christ is among us.